Answer in some sort. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. Please bless us and watch over us. And not just us, Lord, but Lord, every one of churches and gatherings where people love you, they're saved, they're wanting to hear a bit about you, they want to sing your praises, Lord. Please bless that time. Please bless this time, Father. And for all those other places across the world, Lord, that's maybe still in their beds, or maybe they're even finishing now, Lord, please bless the time in their hearts. I pray very especially at this time for Israel, that you would continue to watch over and bless and keep her. I pray you too, Lord, for America and for Britain and for all the countries around the world, Lord, that are pretty much suffering the effect of not having you in their lives and in their countries. Lord, we just thank you for your many helps and blessings. Please watch over us and be one of our number, Lord, as we take this time to lift up your praises and prayers and read your word. And be with Link and Frank and Dr. Shine and Tenerife in this last full day that they have, and see them safely home, Lord. And Lord, we leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Please save souls, and please don't be done with us, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're in the wee books, guys and gals, if you want to take and turn to our first hymn of the morning, number 13, that is becoming a firm favorite, along with Jehovah's Centennial, although it seems to be dropping in popularity a little bit there of late. Hymn number 13, we'll just remain seated as we sing. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. But now I'm finding
swapping books. Let's go to the big ones, number 55. No, in fact, you know what? We'll go to number 372. Haven't sung this one for a while. This is a favourite of mine. 372 is one called Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Hymn number 372. Let's stand as we sit. Let the lower lights be burning.
John chapter 15. I am the tree vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. A man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Ye abide in me, and in my word abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, and ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, ye may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. In the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, and the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen ye out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen.
Say at the Bible reading, just as you were reading there in verse number 21, I was reminded of John 16:3, a little verse that was quoted by, it was Clinton or Obama in one of their speeches whenever they were talking about how much they loved that most famous of Bible verses, you know, John 16:3. That says, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father or me. And really what they should have been quoting was John 3:16, which said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So they named themselves as they tried to use the Bible to their advantage. We have Christmas green prayer lists today. If you're, please take one, and please, even once in the week, if you will offer up the names of all the people that are there to God, it's always nice to know that you are being prayed for. So please have a look at those. If there are any instances of names or people on that don't need to be there, please have a look at it and let us know. And if there's any more that needs to go on there, stick your hand up or shout out and let me know right now. Is there anything else that we need to be praying about?
Your roof.
Somewhere to lay our hats. Yes, indeed.
And all our other possessions.
New abode. Amen. There we go. Anybody got any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
Take prayer from my friend in Clearwater in Florida, Roger and Dorothy Rainwater, We lost our home and our car. I sent them a text 3 weeks ago. I just received a text this morning.
That's right.
They're living in a hotel and it's a kiss.
We think we've got it tough. Was it a tornado or a storm or a hurricane? Please do remember Roger and Dorothy. Now, there's a lot of other people. There are millions of people that have been, in some cases, very severely affected by those the hurricanes in Florida. And is it storms or tornadoes in North Carolina, or is it the same thing?
Hurricanes as well.
So please do pray for America. There seems to be not a great amount of interest in helping a lot of those people out. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris filled up a plane with supplies, got pictures put in the paper, and then emptied the plane and walked away and never sent any supplies down to anybody. So that's what you're dealing with. Please do pray for those souls. Has anybody else got anything else that they would like to add to our prayer lists? How are we fixed for private prayer requests? Please also pray for Lynn. She'll be travelling tomorrow.
Late tomorrow.
And she'll be here on Tuesday. She'll have a few flights and whatnot to get, so please do pray for Lynn as she travels. Lynn and Dr. Shane. And one other thing, Monica has already mentioned to me and to our family, and I mentioned to John and Will, and well, everybody knows that we have accumulated a fair amount of stuff. It's not all junk, some of it is, but it's not all junk. It'll probably appear out in the hallway from time to time as we gather stuff up. If you really need anything, just take it, and we would be more than happy for you to get a good term out of it. You don't want to throw stuff out that doesn't need to be thrown out, but we would be happy if it found a new home and a new lease on life in somebody else's house. Any thanks, Norman?
I was speaking to Paul O'Keefe.
Yes.
During the week, his wife Deborah, her cancer has reset. We've gone back 8%. She's not out of the woods yet, and I told him we were praying for him, and he was very, very taken by that. Much appreciated.
Norman, did you tell the church's prayer for
him? Hmm?
Did you tell the church's prayer for
him? Yes.
What do you call that? It's not received, rescinded.
Is she in remission?
Remission,
yeah. She still has an operation to go through.
Okay.
But she's in remission.
That's good news. I'm always glad to hear that. You got your court case sorted out. That's all sorted too.
I hope we're going about that.
I'm not going to forget about that.
That's on the
thing. Yeah, I see that already. I'm just mentioning that. So, yep. Amen. That's good news. I'm always glad to hear that. Please keep praying for Deborah. I have seen over the years that sometimes the chemo itself can be very, very severe on people. So pray that it keeps going that way. Right, Will, would you mind leading us with a word of prayer, if you would, brother? And then we'll sing it over strong.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, and thank you for sending us another day to live in, Lord. May we press ahead to fully devote to you and to yourself today, Lord. Guide us, protect us, and bless our with our families, Lord, with our friends, and also our church family as well, Lord. See a blessing in our lives. More importantly, maybe worship a good and holy name, and we're more for your Son, we're more for you, and your patience, and your many gifts to us, and your unbounded love to us, and your salvation as well, that you displayed, your Son displayed the cross for us, and the holy sinners would repent of our sins, and accept Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to be saved, and loved for all time, unto you, yourself, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, put off the ground wherever we may be in the world, but find for our God to shine, love for our joy, continue to dwell, Lord. I've been enjoying the holidays, Lord, and I can join the worship back to our church, Father. We've called where it is, Lord, for my trouble, and take them well, which is necessary, but Lord, guide them, protect them, and draw them closer walk with me as well, Lord. Stay as even calling John, Lord, wherever they may be today, Lord, we're back to church, but often, more importantly, see other souls find the carpenters in the Lord. And we thank you for having John in the presence today, Lord, blessing the people, Lord, again as well, Lord. Speak with Pat, Lord. Help her partner, and offend it for me, us, Lord. And Lord, help him and bring him back as well, Lord. Brothers, today, Lord, pray for Mark and Mark, the plan to move from the farm, Lord, in wisdom, Lord, and with confidence, Lord. And guide him at every step, Lord, and do him as well, Lord. Brothers, today, Lord, may we accept this, Lord. Write your word upon our hearts, Lord. And may we truly worship like we can be fully all proud of Jesus Christ to give.
Now, you will. Now, if you'd like to take your Bibles, if you would. Hymn books. I'm losing the plot already. Take the hymn books and turn to number 55. And we're cycling up. Yep, let's do number 55. Number 55 is one that really grabbed a hold of me. Whenever I came, I'd been saved for about 10 years before Bethel found me. I always wondered about, oh well, I haven't been living as a Christian, etc., etc. Until the preacher preached from John chapter 10, where the Bible says that Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. Once you're saved, Jesus keeps you saved forever. And that just lit the blue touch paper in my Christian life and really opened my eyes. And number 55 just goes hand in hand with that. It's called When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder. And I love this song. Amen. I hope it never has to be sung at my funeral, because I'm looking forward to when the roll is called up yonder. Amen. But remain seated as we sing. still going to stay in the same wee book, and we're turning over way towards the back. We're putting a 3 in front of our previous number, 355, and if you're able, folks, we'll stand as we sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 355, another old, old hymn that still is good today, as it was the day it was written. 355, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's make a joyful noise. About 7 or 8 degrees. The weather is so up and down right now. You'll have to forgive me, my nose keeps running. I don't know if that's the sinuses or a bit of allergies from all the corn in the fields around about, but please forgive me if I reach for a tissue. And I should have said, we're in Matthew chapter 12 this morning. I'm only going to read a handful of verses, you'll be glad to hear. From verse number 38 up until verse number 42. And the title for the message this morning is, Are You Mad? With a question mark at the end. Are You Mad? Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse number 38. It will soon be time for those of us that are not as active as others to be getting the thermal layers on whenever we go out to do stuff. Will's already there. Are you already there?
Yeah.
Aye, indeed. It will soon be time for the crag hopper trousers with a
fleecy liner or a merino wool liner and the half fleece tops and an extra layer or two of whatever, because it's awful being cold. Amen. All right. Enough about my personal discomfort. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse number 38. I'm just reading a handful of verses here. The word of God says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Amen. That is our, those are our verses, and we're taking those as our text. We'll sort of do a little bit of the Bible study through them and bring a few thoughts that I hope will be a help to. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank the Lord for this opportunity to open our Bibles and, Lord, to be here in your house and have all the amenities around us and the weather kept off of us, and have a wee bit of fellowship, Lord, and time in your presence. And we pray, Lord, please put your hand upon each one of us and deliver us this day our daily bread, just exactly what it is we need, Father, please. And our brethren across the world, thank them. Glenn Wilkinson, Lord, just there, listening to Alvin. Johnny Campbell, I think too, and the folks up on Stan's Church, Lord, with him being in America, for Pastor Seeley and Aswith and McVeigh, for, Lord, for, I know there's thousands of churches, maybe even millions across the world, that love you, that want to hear your word, that are looking forward to your coming back, Lord. We pray you, please, that you would deliver us this day our daily bread. Thank you for loving us. Please open our understanding. And, Lord, speak to people. Please, Lord, speak to people. We leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will, Lord. Amen. Amen. I remember saying this about the age of 14 or 15 or 16. I worked in a hotel. I remember standing outside on a Sunday when the place closed for an hour or two and saying crazy things like, even God himself is not going to get into this hotel until the doors open again at whatever time it was, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. I remember saying crazy stuff like that. If there's really a God out there, why don't you, like one of the ones is, why don't you stop all the drink drivers? Why don't you stop all the murderers? Well, if you're going to do those things, you might as well do them all. Stop all the people drinking. Stop all the people taking the Lord's name in vain. Stop all the people that are sleeping around the country. Stop all the people that are taking drugs. How long do you think people would be happy with that? They would not be happy at all. It is up. But the Christian life does not work when it's forced upon someone from the outside. It has to come from the inside. I do believe that is why, as a Christian, you become a perennial student, because you're always learning. How many times have you been in dire straits when you've looked, you're questioning everything, and you say, Lord, what in the world's going on? And you open the Bible and there's a wee verse that's just there for you. Or circumstances just realign themselves for you. There is a God. If you have to look for a sign from God, well then you're wandering around with your eyes closed and with your hands in your pockets. Because the greatest sign that God ever gave the world, bar his son Jesus Christ, is currently in the Middle East, in Israel. As far as the scribes and the Pharisees go, at this point, Jesus has healed the sick. He has cast out demons. He has commanded the animals, the fish, to hop into the net and filled Simon Peter and Andrew's and James's and John's fishing nets. He has, what else has he done? I think he might have fed the 5,000 or the 4,000 at this particular time. He may even have walked on water at this particular point. The Lord was constantly showing people signs. Not only that, but if they had taken time to actually look, they would have spoken to his mother. They would have spoken to Zacharias, I think it was, and Elizabeth. They would have asked them questions. Oh yeah, about John the Baptist. About him being here in the spirit of Elijah, as it said in Malachi. The signs of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the signs that Jesus Christ is God, are all around us. If you can pick up the King James Bible, you can pick up a lot of the other Bibles, and you will find mistakes in them, you will find lies and contradictions in them. But if you can pick up the King James Bible and find even one mistake in it, one doctrine, I'm not talking about a typo, I'm talking about a doctrinal error or a prophecy that has not come to pass, God is not the God of heaven. You need to remember that. If there's even one failed prophecy, if there's even one error in the teachings of the Bible, God is not the God of heaven. As we look at it today, we can look at the Bible, or we can ask the question, is there really a God out there? And the one thing most Christians, most evangelists, most preachers will point to, does anybody have any idea what I'm going to mention? It's Israel. Way back in Jeremiah, like you're talking maybe 3,000 years ago, the Lord said in Isaiah and Zechariah that Israel would become a nation in troubled times, troublous times. And it did, 76 years ago, at the end of the Second World War. The Bible also says that it would be surrounded by those that hate it. And it also says that anybody that got themselves so bothered that they raised their hand against Israel would pay for it. And that has all come true, and is coming true even today. The Bible says from here on out, Israel will never not be Israel again. They've got one big defeat coming their way, and that's mentioned in the book of Revelation. But Israel will always be there. And Israel will always be blessed by God. And those that love Israel and bless Israel, it says in Genesis chapter 12, will be loved and blessed of God. And those that curse Israel and hate Israel will be cursed and hated of God. Because they quite literally set themselves against the will of God in this world. I know it's not popular to love Jewish people, but what did they ever do wrong? Speaking to a friend once who worked in the Falls Road, I think it was, and possibly the Shankill as well. He worked for the Playhouse across the town. The Playhouse is still working across the town. He used to do production there. Johnny, I forgot his name. Johnny. And he did some work in the Shankill Road, similar sort of work, setting up productions and shows for the young people. And he found that there were people, some people that had lived there their whole lives. And I'm going to get this wrong, you'll have to forgive me. Is the Shankill the Protestant there? And the people in the Shankill hated the people in the Falls, because they were Roman Catholic. And the people in the Falls hated the people in the Shankill, because they were Protestant. But whenever he asked them, well, why is it? We just hate them. And that is the way it is with the Jewish people. There's no reason to it. And the greatest thing that God can do, or maybe that we can do on behalf of God, is to get people asking questions. Why is it I'm supposed to hate the Jews? Why is it that I don't go to church? Why is it that I kick and struggle against all the things that the Lord lays down? It is the way we are. But if we can get people thinking about that and asking questions, maybe then they will ask God, Lord, please save me. As far as seeing a sign from God is, look out the window. Look at the grass. Look at the trees. Look at the birds. Speak to Henry Craig up around the corner there. Although not about anything that your life depends upon. And ask him that he's 70-something or other. He has lived the farmer's life. He's paying for it now, unfortunately. And all the years that he has raised cattle and sheep and had cats and dogs, never once in the decades that he, his father or his grandfather, that raised all those critters, did they ever find a sheep produce a not sheep, or a cow produce a not cow, or a dog produce a not dog, or a cat produce a not cat. In fact, they bet everything on sheep producing sheep and cows producing cows. The whole of creation preaches a gospel message, and the promises of God secured in the Bible preach to us even now that God is in heaven and he loves souls and wants them saved. Anyway, the Lord mentions, as we read these things, in an answer to these scribes and Pharisees, bear in mind the scribes and the Pharisees were supposed to be the people entrusted with the spreading of the gospel to all of the Jewish people. Show us a sign that you're God. It's almost like saying, like, what? Did they not switch your brains on this morning? Look at all the things that have been happening. Anyway, this is what God said. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. People that are predisposed not to believe in God will continually look for a sign. Oh, that's not valid. Oh, the nation of Israel is not a valid sign. The creation is not... The fact that the creation is winding down instead of building up, just like the Bible says, that's not a sign. The fact that when people get saved, their lives change, that's not a sign. The fact that people that get saved can know they're going to heaven and have joy in their hearts, that's not a sign. Show us a sign. People will always say, what have you got to prove that God is God? And this is what Jesus said. This is the only thing that you will say. That's the sign of the prophet Jonah. It's called Jonas in the New Testament. And Jonah and Nineveh are a type of us and a type of Jesus. Now, the Lord was saying, and it was common knowledge back in the day, that Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish. And no one ever said, but Mr. Pharisee, that's just a fairy tale. That was accepted historical fact. As Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so the Lord will spend 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth. And Jonah did. Jonah didn't want to see people saved in Nineveh. He wanted them to pay because Nineveh was called a robber city. He wanted them all to die. He wanted God to judge them. I'm sure we can all think of a few people like that. He didn't go willingly. And if you think to the Lord didn't say, great, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to become sin for everybody. He didn't say that. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So, Jonah was a type of Christ in a certain part of that. Now, some bloke walking into the middle of a city and preaching the gospel was obviously not going to cut it. But some bloke that got spat up out of a shark's mouth onto the seashore after spending 3 days digesting in his stomach, that would give people pause for thought. Because the people, obviously, they have a seashore, there was fishing that took place. I can almost see one of those big Jaws type of sharks. Maybe it was even a megalodon, like in that film, The Meg. Throwing them up onto the shore and wriggling around and getting itself back into the water again and disappearing. And what looks like a pile of seaweed and fish, whatever, stomach contents, suddenly gets up, shakes himself off and starts walking into the city. People would take notice then. In fact, before he even got very far, people would know he was coming. It was a great city. There were over 100,000 people in it. And he walked for 2 solid days until he got to the middle of the city. And then he started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh. And they all got saved. How great would that be to see today? That literally, that city was nearly the size, not far off of the size of Derry. Now we know that as we compare that to Jesus Christ, the Lord did spend 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. The Bible records that he spoke to those that were in prison, which is paradise, a place just across from hell. And the Bible records that he took captivity captive and he took it up to heaven with him again, giving gifts to men. And the Bible records also that once he took paradise out of the heart of the earth, that hell enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure to accommodate not just the few millions of souls that were about in Christ's day, but the billions of souls that are about in our day that are going to end up there. Not because God hated them, but because they hated God. Now, like we already mentioned, Jesus was not looking forward to the bit where he got nailed to a cross and became sin. He wasn't half God and half man. He was fully God and fully man. He was tempted in every manner like we are, the Bible says. He was tempted with all of the things that he wanted back in Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But he was without sin. But because of his love for us, in the same way as God loved the people in Nineveh, his servant, Jesus, his servant, Jonah, walked into Nineveh. Jesus walked into the world and preached. 3 years is all he got. There are a few instances and examples of things that he did throughout his life. But 3 years, he preached. And he did miracles. And he had the right words at the right time for anybody that came to him. He had the right healing. He had the right everything. He did everything just exactly what they needed, just like Jonah gave the people in Nineveh exactly what they needed. So God provided for us exactly what we needed, a salvation. There's a picture of Christ in so many ways. It doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't, sadly. But Because we all have free will. But it means that anybody that chooses Christ as Savior is going to heaven.
Now the picture digresses a bit from Jonah, because Jonah sat with a big head on, is that the way? Under a tree, hoping that even though he had carried out God's will, that God was still going to bring fire down from heaven and destroy them all. It was called the Robber City for a reason. I think they must have sent bands out here, there, and everywhere, stealing everything that wasn't nailed down, and maybe taking slaves as well. And he probably knew somebody that had been hurt by them. And you get, funny thing, you can get more annoyed for somebody else than you can for yourself. He was just waiting there for them. Kill them, God, kill them, you know what, they need to be killed. And so God destroyed the gourd, the big thing that was giving them a bit of shade. And Jonah got more annoyed about a plant being destroyed than over 100,000 people and all of their cattle being saved from judgment. Just some people, anyway. He says, that's the sign. I'll be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, just like Jonah was. Remember, that happened. And all those things are in the Bible for a reason, so that people could say, oh, God did that back then. And he's using that to show us exactly what he will do. And we are the people. We were the people of Nineveh. And the Bible says the people of Nineveh are going to rise up and they're going to say to all the lost souls in eternity, are you mad? Are you crazy? You had one guy puked up by a shark onto the seashore, you listened to what he said, and you all got saved. We all got saved. But you have the very God Almighty in front of you that did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, that spoke the words that made more difference than fire coming down from heaven in people's hearts. And you ignored them. We had a grumpy, we had the most unwilling grumpy preacher in the world. And we listened to him and got saved. We all changed our ways. We knew we were wrong. We were warned of judgment. And we turned. And we trusted in God. And here you were, hundreds, maybe 1,000 years later. And you have all the examples of the prophets ever since. You have all the prophecies from the prophets ever since. And you have very God Almighty standing in your midst. He wouldn't listen. Is there something wrong with you? What would they say in there? Are you touched? What is that what they would say? Are you touched? They used to say in my neck of the woods, they would say up here, what ward and grantia did you come from? They used to say, did you just get out of Banville today up in Portadown direction? They'd say, you're crazy. You're fools. You're idiots. Nothing. Goodness. The Lord even said, whoever comes to me, I'll not turn them away. One of them did. Does anyone remember? Norman was reading in John chapter 3. There was a fella by the name of Nicodemus, was a scribe and a Pharisee. Goodness, I remember my old maths teacher. He was a fearsome, crusty, probably my age now. And he was a grumpy so-and-so. He was a great maths teacher. But I don't remember much of what he taught me, but I do remember what he said. I'm your maths teacher. If you have a problem with maths, come and ask me. It's what I do. And I have said to people about the Bible, about computers, if you have something you want to know in the Bible, I'll either know it or I'll be able to find it for you. Come and ask me. It's what I do. I've spent the last 35 years of my life studying it, and the last 20-something preaching it. If you want to know something about computers, come and ask me. I might even be able to help you from my very ample store of bits and pieces up at the house. Because that's what I do. And Jesus said the same. And one Pharisee came to him and said, Lord, what's it all about?
And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he's not going to heaven. Can you imagine people saying, you that stupid, that you rejected the God of the universe, even as he walked with you and talked with you? Do you remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? Whenever Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the things that the Bible's been telling you. And he spoke to them and he showed them himself from the Old Testament, and they sat down and they were eating, and he lifted up the bread and he blessed it, and their eyes were open and he disappeared. They said, did our hearts not burn? Did it not mean something? Did he not speak to us? Even as we walked and talked, even those souls will stand up in judgment against all the people ever since that have had so much more. We also see the other example. We have Jonah as a type of Christ, and we have Nineveh as a type of the people that listen to the gospel. But we have the gospel itself mentioned in verse number 42, the Queen of the South, Queen of Sheba. There's an old chapter in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 10. It talks about this wee girl. But you wouldn't call the Queen of Sheba a wee girl, because she probably had all these guards that if you looked at her sideways, they'd fall on you with swords and spears and kill you. There was this queen of Sheba who, from hundreds and even thousands of miles away, heard about this other king called Solomon that God had touched. In a good way. Not touched, but touched. Heard about the great blessings that Solomon had because he obeyed God. And we know of the dreams that in which God spoke to Solomon and blessed him with the wisdom of God. So she made the journey. And she came with money. She came with gold. She came with animals. She came with all sorts of spices, ones that we all love, the chili peppers and the turmeric and the cumin and all of that. You know, all the stuff you see in the Schwarzkopf shelf up in Tesco's, and probably much, much better. She came with all of this stuff because it was good manners to come with gifts. She wanted to see. And as she went into Solomon's kingdom, which was God's kingdom, she saw all his servants, and they were happy. There was none of them.
I have to serve the king, and he's so hard on us.
She saw them happy. The singers were happy. The soldiers were happy. There was so much wealth and prosperity about the kingdom of Solomon that they didn't even bother counting silver anymore. Just precious stones and gold. Huge flocks. Everything was beautiful. Everything was as good as it could get. And the Bible records that she communed with Solomon. She spoke to him. She asked him all these questions. And he told her all her heart. He was able to read her like a book, or should I say, he was able to relate what God gave to him about her life. In fact, I was even reminded in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well. Does anyone remember the account of the woman at the well? She had five husbands. She was living with a fella that wasn't her husband. And Jesus said, I know all about you. I know about your five husbands. I know about the man that you're living with. And she says, how do you know me? He said, she got so amazed at all the things that Jesus was telling her about. She went out and told the men that she had met and married, and they told other people and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? The Queen of Sheba, she understood that. The Word of God itself when you look at it, it's going to make you uncomfortable. No matter who you are. You'll get a slap on the back from time to time. You'll find comfort in it from time to time. You might find a toe up your backside in it from time to time. A wee bit of a shake and a thick ear. But you will find a God that loves you so much, who's not afraid of offending you if you need to be offended. Because that is what we need at any given time. When our hearts are breaking, the Lord will put his arm around us and remind us that he is still there for us. When we're on top of the world, the Lord will say, remember, you're still my son whenever you're on top of the world, and don't forget that as you go. Whenever your enemies are lined up against you, the Lord says, when I am for you, no one can be against you. All of these things are there. But also, as you read it, and the Bible says, thou shalt not. We don't like that so much. Thou shalt not worship idols, bear false witness, I'm all over the place. Make idols, worship idols, take the Lord's name in vain. Make sure you get into church, the Lord said that. He also said, treat your neighbors right, respect your mom and dad, no lying, no killing, no stealing. I think I'm missing one. And we're all good with the stories, but whenever the Lord says, thou shalt not, sometimes you know it says, but Lord, you know what, I really feel like doing some of those things. And we don't like that so much. But we need it. And if we didn't need it, it wouldn't be in the Bible. We need it. The Bible shows that, just like Solomon showed to the Queen of Sheba, that we're all sinners. No matter the shade of our skin or our sin, and we all need to be saved. And this woman, this Queen of Sheba, the Word of God records that she made the effort to seek out Christ. And that's what the Bible said. Christ, we're not going to wake up one morning or get out of the wrong side of the bed and bang our head on the cabinet or the radiator and wake up and go, hey, I'm saved by accident. That's not the way it works. You've got to ask. You've got to seek the Lord whilst he may be found. The Queen of Sheba came from literally the far side of the known world at that particular time. Because she heard about the wisdom of God in the body and in the mind of this man called Solomon. And she's going to say, are you guys crazy? Are you on medication? For all that I knew and that we knew, let me have a look. Where are we? Kings. That's all, and not even, that's all the Queen of Sheba had available to her back in the day. And she chose Christ as her Savior. In fact, the Ethiopian eunuch probably came from the Queen of Sheba or that direction. And he was reading Isaiah 53 whenever Philip went to speak to him and led him to the foot of the cross. We've got this. We've got like five times as much information and wisdom. We didn't even have the wisdom of Solomon back in the day. And she still chose Jesus Christ. And here we have everything. We've got Psalms and Proverbs. That's the wisdom of Solomon written down. We've got all that. And yet so many people still refuse to listen. The Word of God records in the instance of the Queen of Sheba that Solomon gave her her heart's desire. So if you were to ask someone today, what is your heart's desire? I know what my heart's desire is right now. Have a sheet of concrete out there with a building on it. Electricity, water, and
working septic system.
Working septic system. My heart's desire, my desires are not very highfalutin. They're someone straightforward. What do you think the Queen of Sheba's heart's desire? Do you think it was money? Oh, Solomon, show me how to make more money. And Solomon would say, well, I reckon if you bet against Disney, you'll make a fortune, because they're going down the toilet. Bet against Marvel and Star Wars, any of those things, make a fortune and money, because they're so politically correct, they don't know whether they're coming or not. No, she wasn't looking for money. She actually brought 120 talents of gold and precious stones. She wasn't looking for money or riches or how to invest them. Was she looking for more healthy food? I'm going to tell you something. The food back in the day was a lot healthier than it is today. She was bringing all sorts of food and stuff with them. The wee verse in Luke chapter 12, and it says, look, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, of just wanting stuff. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. In Luke chapter 4, when the Lord was tempted, this is what the Lord said to the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He told her how to be saved. He told her how to put her faith in the Lord God. He told her the most important thing is that whenever a person is renewed, all things are just like new again. He told her about an honest and a daily walk with God. I know I keep mentioning deep with the Lord Jesus Christ even back then, and I know Jesus wasn't mentioned, but Jesus Christ is God, so bear with me. An honest and daily walk with the Lord after you're saved. And how to pray, just like the Lord taught his disciples. This is how you talk to God. Just tell him your heart's desire, and it just takes a load off of your mind. And Peter probably summed it up the best. After the Lord did feed the 5,000 at one point, he said, has everybody got their bellies full? Oh, that fish, those fish sandwiches were good, Lord. Those were good. Right, let's get down to the preaching. Let's get down to me telling you what's right and what's wrong. And Louis didn't say it like that, but he started preaching. And the people said, oh, I'm starting to feel a bit hot under the collar. Somebody stepped in my toes there and cut my nails a little bit close to the quick. We all started leaving. Remember what Peter said as he walked towards the Lord? As everybody walked towards Jesus and away, Peter also was walking towards him, and Jesus said, are you leaving me too, Peter? And Peter said, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life, and it is those that make the difference. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a slave or a king, it is the words of eternal life. As we read this little portion of God's word, it points to a time when everybody that's saved gets to see everybody that's not saved. In the great white throne of judgment in Revelation 20. And I know there might be a few people where the Bible says, for all the dead, small and great, stand before the great white throne of judgment. It's not an episode of The Walking Dead. It means the dead in trespasses and sins. Those that do not have eternal life but have everlasting torment ahead of them. And the people will say, why did you not tell us the gospel? There's going to be people that say that whenever they step off into eternity and they open their eyes in hell being in torment. Why did you never tell us? And at the great white throne of judgment, it talks about the men of Nineveh. It talks about the Queen of Sheba. And they're no different to anybody else that ever got saved and said, you were told. We told you. The people, goodness, the amount of stuff you had to tell you of your need and the great love that God had, it was everywhere. And you turned your nose up at it. We don't have to wait until then. We get a look ahead whenever we read the last few chapters of the Bible of exactly what is going to happen. And there's a reason God mentions these things. It's because he doesn't want anybody to be there. He wants all men everywhere to be saved, to be on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. And so when the Queen of Sheba stands up and says, "Are you mad? Were you mad?" And then the men of Nineveh stand up and say, "Were you out of your minds whenever you refused Jesus?" And when the people that I have spoken to, I think maybe I've already gotten past that bit, and they say, "You were absolutely crazy. You were mad to turn your nose up at the great free gift of everlasting life." They will honestly have to stop for a moment and think to themselves, "Why didn't I accept Jesus Christ? I said no for a drink of beer." Somebody else will say, "I said no for a night with strangers bed." Somebody else is going to say, "Well, I said no for a wee tablet or a wee needle full of joy juice." Somebody else is going to say, "Well, I said no because if I had started living for Jesus, I would never have reached the lofty heights of power that I did. I would never have had the praise and the worship of millions of little boys and girls as they bought my movies or listened to my music. I would never have been able to acquire," in quotes, "the amount of money that I did." And the Lord will say, "Where is it all now? What use is it to you, man?" Does anybody here like surprises? Good surprises? I like good surprises. Sometimes I can even laugh whenever a prank is played upon me. I don't mind surprises. As long as I don't shed any blood or lose any limbs or anything like that. There are some surprises you don't want to have, and turning up whenever your life is over, turning up at the great white throne of judgment is not a surprise anybody wants, and that's why God put it in his word. And I know it's in the future. Bible says it's at least 1,000 years, 1,007 years in the future. 1,007 years, whatever length of time up to the tribulation, and that little bit of time that the devil runs riot again. It's at least, it's not going to bother any of us. I'm not going to be worrying about 1,000 years in the future. Maybe 10 or 15 or 20 or 30. But God doesn't want anybody to end up there. And so he puts it in the book. And people say, "What's 1,007 years away?" It's so far away, it's like Star Wars, you know, like a long time ago and far, a galaxy far, far away. God said, everything else is put in this book. It's put in this book so that you and I can know of all the things that have happened, just like God said they would happen, all the things that are going to happen will happen just like God says they will happen. He doesn't want people sitting there. He doesn't want people going to hell. In fact, if you were to honestly look around you in the Western world, you quite literally trip over tracts, Christians, Bibles, radio broadcasts, literally anybody in the Western world, even in this world today, anyone with internet access, if you go to hell, you go to it over so many witnesses and so many efforts, so many gospel preaching, over the Bibles that are everywhere, the creation at the tip of her finger, God's people, and Israel itself, people going to hell over all of those people, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit at the top of all that. The sad thing about it is, many people will reject. The Lord said he doesn't make them. He just took the names. He didn't force them there. He just took the names as they went there. It's not God's plan, and it's not God's will, and it's not God's pleasure. It is our decision. But God asks us earnestly to think seriously about where we're going to be spent in our eternity. Doesn't want people pointing fingers and saying, you must have been out of your mind. He wants people to be pointing their fingers and saying, I heard the gospel from you and I got saved. That's what he wants to do. Anyway, don't be mad. Keep your head screwed on and think seriously about everything that's going on in the world today and that's coming down the line. Amen. Thank you for your good time and attention, folks. I do appreciate it. Amen. You know what? Has anybody got a hymn that they'd like for us all to sing? John, even if you've got one, you don't normally pick, so I'm going to give you first shot. If you have one, if you don't worry, but if you have one. That's grand. Mrs. Bradfield, we'll let the ladies go next.
111.
One, is that one verse of 11 or 111?
111.
Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Amen. 111 in the big books. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Let's stand as we sing. contributions, your hymns, and your Bible reading and prayers. I pray you all a good day. Look forward to seeing you again this evening or at the next appointed time in just 6.5 hours. Or before I have to give you a lift. But in the meantime, have a good afternoon. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. That's prayer will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this time to set aside to worship and praise you and to listen to your word read and preached. And I pray that you would bless it to us. Please stay safely home. And Lynn and Frank and Dr. Shang, too. Please be with Colin and John and Pat and Steve. And Lord, we pray most of all for your will to be done and souls to be saved. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen.